And Shannon, it'll be 3 weeks. We'll have stuff back there, right? Okay, so for the next 3 weeks. So if you didn't come prepared today, obviously, that's okay. We wanted to let you know. Also, at the end of service, we want to take a special offering for James, Maria, and their family. They have done so much ministry nationwide, as well as in Kenya, even into Uganda, that they don't always receive a salary. They go by what the Lord provides. And so as a church body, I'm just going to encourage you right now, after we have communion together at the end of service, we want to bless them. We want to give them anything we can to see God relieve the burdens that they have and help provide more for them and their family. Amen? Okay, Maria, you ready? Maria's going to bless us this morning with a song. And Cassidy, you want to come too? Roz, you can take care of it. You run the show.
In Kenya, we say, Bwana asifiwe. And then the congregation says, Amen, which simply means, praise the Lord. So, Bwana asifiwe. Bwana asifiwe tena. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Africa, Kenya. Well, a few weeks or months? A few weeks ago, you sent Cassidy to us, and we want to say thank you because you sent a good seed to us. And Cassidy was able, through the 3 months she was there, she moved in three regions and trained close to 60 kids, over 70 kids, and these are ages 3 to 19. Trained them in worship dance and hearing the voice of the Lord. And she left us with all those testimonies of transformation because the parents were able to share about character formation and development even in their children. And the reason why I asked for the kids to stay, because the other day I was given the opportunity to speak to them and Cassidy was with me. And Cassidy's mom simply said, Cassidy's forgetting to say that her desire to go to Africa started in that Sunday school class. And many years later, here she is coming back to the children and praying for these children and sharing her ministry experience. So just to encourage the kids, because they're part of the end time harvest too, and desires and dreams and visions are birthed into our children when we give them the environment to receive what God has for them. So we love you kids. God gave us an opportunity to, because as a minister in Kenya, as a mama in Kenya, when you sent Cassidy to me, I was able to identify some gifts that maybe she's not been functioning in high mill. And so some of the things I had to really push her so hard, and she did not know she could even sing. So God has given us a recording studio. So we sat in the studio and I told her, Cassidy, now, give me the song. And then she started saying, Mama, my voice is, you know, and immediately the Lord gave me that song, which is titled, My Voice. She didn't know that she was releasing revelation there. And you know about the scripture in Psalms 29 that says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, and that is what partly Pastor Noah just raised here. Over any kind, any form of water, every form of tribulation, every form of trouble that may be there, the voice of the Lord is over that. And I believe the Lord is releasing that voice today. The God of glory, he thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. It breaks the cedars. It breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon and makes Lebanon leap like a calf. So there is power in the voice of the Lord. And so I immediately, in the next like half an hour, we had already written the song with Cassidy and we recorded it in that studio. So just to realize how many times we have gifts within us, but unless we are able to, you get someone who can push you a little bit, just a small push, and then you're able to release yourself. So I think we'll be ready. I'll be singing along the track, and Cassidy will be doing the dance. And we were able to do this dance and record the video of the dance with over the 60 kids and above with Cassidy. So she calls me Mama. That's her part singing, so I won't sing it. That's Cassidy. Your voice, oh Lord.
Yanipa amandi sautia.
Of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Father, we thank you for your voice, that you're speaking to us by your voice. When you speak, no demons can stand your praises. When you speak, strongholds fall away. When you speak, mountains tremble, so speak to us, Lord. Your voice gives me peace. Sautia, you're late for Cassidy will be coming back to Kenya on the 28th to the 13th of December. And so we ask for your prayers and your support for her. She will be going into a new region called Mombasa, which is a coastal region 7 or 8 hours away from Nairobi. She will travel, first of all, 7 hours into Bungoma, 8 hours into Bungoma, do ministry there, come back and go 7, 8 hours away again into the coastal region. I want to say thank you for supporting this ministry. Thank you for supporting this young woman of God that has been called for the nations. And I request for your prayers and even financial support for her, that her ministry will grow, touching the young people for God's glory. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's the essence of our partnership and unity as, back in Kenya, Grace Community Fellowship and High Mill Church. Our desire really is to connect and develop the gifts and the talents, particularly of the new generation, the young men and women. We've been in the country about 3.5 weeks. And before I came in, I had been in Nigeria, West Africa, for 10 days with Brother Mick Gross and a team doing ministry. And at the end of the conference and the equipping time, several young girls, almost like college-age girls, they came to us and said, would you take us with you to Kenya or to America? Take us with you. We were like, we cannot take you. Why would you want to leave your country? And they said, we finished high school. We are singers. We sing and we serve God. But no one appreciates us. No one acknowledges the gifts that we have. And we want to walk with you and to serve with you. And later on, as a team of leaders, as we sat together, we felt like that is the voice of God crying out from the young generation. They are needing shepherds. They are needing people who love them just the way they are. Love them into the fullness of Christ. Disciple them. In fact, very specifically, we heard the Lord speak to us. He's like he's saying, extend your hand as shepherds to this new generation so that we can reach out to them, minister to them, and raise up a next generation that will defend the faith. Amen. Defend the faith. Out of our time in Nigeria, the Lord spoke to me about Vision 2020, where we would have a gathering from across the nations, almost a very similar vision like you, Haimil, had years ago about History Maker. But this was, the Lord put it in our hearts that we'll gather the new generation from different nations, particularly in the conflict zones of the central east to west Africa. You know that in the North African side, it's predominantly Muslim, and then the southern side is predominantly Christian. And the Lord was showing us that there is need to impact and raise up the new generation, equip them, mentor them, get them rooted in their faith, rooted in prayer, rooted in the word, and then activated and deployed for the end time assignment. So we'll gather in August 2020 and ignite the fire gathering where, in fact, I shared with Pastor Noah that Haimil, we would love for you to be part of that. Send a team. Send not only Cassidy. We are here to put a demand on Haimil that you'll not only send Cassidy, but many other young men and women of God who can be ignited with the fire of the Spirit of God for such a time as this. Amen. And thank you so much, Shannon, also for sharing the vision of what we are doing. Really, poverty is a reality in Africa. And one of the responsibilities we feel we have in Christ is to love and care in very practical ways. And this includes not only sharing our food with the hungry, but also deploying them, teaching them in how to do business the kingdom way. Amen. In ways that reveal good management, good administration. Actually, we have a team of farmers from Kansas who are coming in March to help the farmers there, because agriculture is one of the backbones of the Kenyan economy. But we feel like if our local farmers can get wisdom and insight and the experience that you Americans have in the farming industry, then it will boost their productivity, because there are simple stuff, simple techniques, simple knowledge and information that can be shared, and it can revitalize their businesses. We were sharing with Shannon and saying that we can also begin to plan for executive missions. Those of you who are executives, managers, administrators, to come, and Maria handles a whole program of the training and teaching in terms of business management, how to start a business, how to steward finance. You know, in the past we've had medical missions, we've had gospel missions, but I believe that even executives can come for 5 to 10 days and just speak into the lives of the poor African communities and just help them to have the skills to really run and steward whatever God has for them. Amen. Tomorrow we get to travel back to Kenya and escape from the devastating cold in America. It's been 3.5 weeks. It's been nice to, you know, the welcome is warm, the food is nice, the fellowship is great, but the cold for the thin African blood, man, it doesn't settle well. In Kansas, I have to tell this story, because she talked about me in the class, so I have to talk about her a little bit. But in Kansas, we were speaking at a Women's Aglow meeting, and so they put us up in a hotel somewhere, and then in the morning we woke up and there was ice outside. And so we are walking towards the car, and Maria was ahead carrying her bags, and suddenly I see the love of my life fallen to the ground, because she did not have the right shoes for the ice. And so the love side of me, I'm like, okay, love, what do I do? I'm trying to rush to help her, but I'm sliding also on the ice. And she's like, no, if you try to curve, you'll also fall and we'll all be down. And she's like, let me just make it. And she got up, I held her hand, she got up. And then luckily she was not injured. And then later on, now there's the love side of James and then there's the naughty side of James. I'm like, love, I'm sorry, I did not have my camera to take pictures of you falling. So love, tomorrow we can escape from all the ice and all those tribulations and just go back to Africa where it's nice and warm. Amen. Anyway, but praise the Lord. Today I just want to share with us about advancing in apostolic grace. I believe that High Mill, like any other church, goes through different seasons. Our Christian life is a journey. And as the Church of Christ, we go through different seasons where the grace of God enables us to go through up the mountains, through down the valleys, and experience various challenges. I do believe that the end product that God desires is a production of character, where godly character can be exhibited, can be nurtured, can be established. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3, the words of Apostle Paul, he says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There are several things that the Holy Spirit pulled out into my spirit in this passage that I feel like they are very relevant to us. And Paul talks about an apostolic conflict. When we talk about conflict, it's like it's talking about an inward battle, that there is an inward conflict, there is a wrestling within me. And this wrestling is about you as the saints of God who are in Laodicea, and I believe he's also speaking to us, and to many who have not seen my face in the flesh. Number one, he says, that their hearts may be encouraged. Amen. Their hearts may be encouraged. That is one of the apostolic desires of Christ to us today. That it does not matter the dark moments that the enemy would want to bring discouragement, disillusionment, despair, and even giving up. That even in those times when the enemy expects that we would be at our lowest, that is where our unique character as believers needs to be manifested. Instead of getting discouraged, then we be encouraged. Why? Because the Bible has not left us ignorant of the trials and the testings of those who proclaim the faith in Christ Jesus. That their hearts may be encouraged. And he also talked about their hearts being knit together in love. Friends, when we go through dark times, starting even in our own marriages and families, the enemy wants to break our hearts and even lose connectivity or fellowship and feel like we in fact, what the devil tries to do is to bring down the nature of our understanding concerning conflict and spiritual battle and bring it to flesh and blood, where we begin to view one another as being the bad one or the good one, and we reduce our spiritual, intellectual capacity to a carnal realm where we begin to hate one another or to be in disagreement with one another. But brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us that we do not wrestle. Our conflict is not in flesh and blood. It's not about people, but it is a spiritual battle. And so in such times of conflict, that our hearts can be knit together in love and understand that the nature of our battle has never been carnal, but it is a spiritual battle. And then he also talks about assurance that is based on understanding. So that when we, I believe what God is saying, or the Apostle Paul is speaking to us, is that we need to have an assurance that even when it seems like it is hard to stand, and we feel like we are shaken and we are ready to fall and collapse, that there is a spiritual activation that happens within our spirits, within our inner beings, to the understanding that, you know, the eternal purpose of God for our lives surpasses all the light afflictions that we may go through. It surpasses all the battles that we go through. It surpasses all the temporary stuff that we go through. Before we traveled to, I left for Nigeria. Maria traveled actually directly from Kenya to the U.S. and we connected in Kansas. But I was part of a team. I ministered with an apostolic leader from Kampala, Uganda, to a team of intercessors in Nairobi, Kenya. And this man from Uganda, he shared and he said, you know, that back in Uganda, I tell my fellow Christians You know, there is a president there, Yoweri Museveni. Museveni has been president, I think, for over 30 years now. And many Ugandans have been in that state of discouragement, feeling like, wow, this man is now turning into a dictator. You know, what will this, you know, everything just seems to be so negative. And this apostolic leader, he shared his the wisdom of God. He said, you know what? I tell my fellow Ugandans that I can see. I can see beyond today. I can see a future 50 years from today for as long as the Lord tarries. And Yoweri Museveni will not be president of Uganda. Okay. So the man, basically what he was showing us is that at times, because of the day-to-day struggles, our vision can be reduced from the long term, and for us as believers, to be reduced from our eternal vision to a limited vision where we begin to see in the realms of the carnal mind and flesh. And what we can see today can kill us even before our appointed time. I've been telling teams that want to come to Kenya that, you know, in Kenya, we move by faith and not by sight, particularly on our highways. Because, and I remember when the team, when they came, they handled it really nice. But, you know, on a two-way lane, highway, and at times you are passing and an oncoming vehicle, a truck has his lights on, is like he's telling you, hey, give way. My goodness, for those of you who are used to the American culture of the road culture, when you come to Kenya, if you do not live by faith, you can die quickly. But as believers, the Word of God helps us, even in our times of weakness, that His strength is made perfect in us. And our vision can be raised up, lifted up from the temporary situations and begin to look at the eternal destiny that we are headed to. And because of that eternal vision, eternal focus, brothers and sisters, the things that seem to be so temporary down here that cannot make sense at times, suddenly we begin to understand. An assurance based on understanding. And when you begin to research in terms of what understanding actually is defined as, basically it's intelligence. Having an intelligent eye. Do you know that at times you can have a perspective of an issue, and then someone comes in and shares a different perspective, and you wonder, my goodness, how dumb was I on this matter? And you know, in our natural sense, we can look at situations and have our perspectives. But I want to encourage us that as we move ahead as the Church of Christ, the eternal destiny that Christ has for the church, He's calling us to move in a level of spiritual intelligence where we begin to outwit the enemy. When the enemy thought that he could destroy Haimil, that is when Haimil busts out to be a stronger, spiritual, united, loving body of believers. And I decree those words, not just as my words, but as the word of the Lord for Haimil today. That you will be filled with assurance based on understanding that comes by the Spirit of God. Paul also talks about the knowledge of God's mystery. When we talk about mystery, we are talking about secrets of God, the purposes of God. And the Bible teaches us through the model of Christ Himself, when Jesus is with the multitudes, He teaches them using parables. But then when He comes and brings His disciples together, you see, Jesus begins to give them understanding. That means he begins to unlock the mysteries, the secrets. Brothers and sisters, if we choose to purpose, if we purpose to be disciples of Christ, and even in the hardest moments of our lives, that we get closer to our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, I can assure you that the secrets of his heart for our lives, and even for congregations such as this, for cities, for nations, will begin to be unlocked and deposited into our hearts, and we will understand. Because there are things in life and in our journeys of faith that many times look like total mysteries. But as we get close to Jesus, as we get close to and have intimate times with him, those mysteries are going to be unlocked. And I can say this as a messenger of the Lord, that he's going to unveil the mysteries of his heart. If you can hold still, if you can stand still, if you can lift up your eyes from that which besets you today and say, Jesus, I need you. And just like the song that was sang and Cassidy danced here, and you know, your voice, oh God, it brings peace. Your voice brings understanding. Your voice brings knowledge and wisdom and revelation. We can get to such intimate times and be able to gain an understanding of the mysteries of God. It also talks about attaining to all heavenly treasures of wisdom and skill. You know, God wants us even to come to that place where we can attain or have access to the heavenly treasures. When I think about those who go hunting for treasures, those who wish to find the riches that is vested down in the earth, they have to go through a period of testing. They have to go through a period of trial, a difficult time digging deep. And friends, for us to access the treasures of heaven, we have to die to the self. We have to crucify the self. We have to lay down our own fears and concerns. But this is also that prayer, that conflict that Paul has in his heart, that the church can be able to attain the heavenly treasures of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I love to teach about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. When we talk about wisdom, from a Hebrew context, it talks about skill. It talks about intelligence. Skill like the skill used in times of war. And God wants us to have wisdom, even when there is so much conflict that comes our way, that we will manage the conflict not in our human wisdom that is limited, that is earthly, and many times, like James chapter 3 from verse 15, James defines it as demonic wisdom. In our darkest moments, let us desire to be filled with the Spirit so that the Spirit of God can ignite our lives, can ignite our spirits to the knowledge of godly wisdom. And like I say, from the study of the Word of God, wisdom is not just a word. Wisdom is a skill. It's a skill that will help you to navigate through the storms. As we honor the veterans, they can testify that you do not go into the battle front without skill. If you go into the battle front without the training, without the skill, without the wisdom, you will die quickly. Years ago, is the story of the Kenyan armed forces. Because of the terrorism activities in Somalia, the president ordered them to go into Somalia because there were Somali terrorists that would come in and kidnap tourists and missionaries, even in Kenya, in the coastal regions. So the Kenyan Defense Forces went, and our journalists, this young journalist, they were so excited. They said, no, we must go. We must accompany you so that we can take footage of what is going on, and we will guard against abuses that and extreme things that the military at times engage in. And so they said, okay, but you've not been trained for war. How will you come and cover all these stories? They said, well, you dress us up. You give us those helmets, give us the boots, give us those combat gear so that we will come with you. Okay, they dressed them up, put on the helmet, dressed them up in combat gear, and then they were off. They were put in an armored vehicle, and all seemed well until they came under an ambush, and a rocket-propelled grenade was launched out, which hit their armored vehicle. Thank God it was an armored vehicle. But you see, this young journalist, right there, they made up their mind. They said, you guys, based upon what we have heard, the blast and the risk of our lives, you guys who are trained to be soldiers, go ahead, but we are going back. Why? Because these guys were dressed like military, but their hearts were civilians. As we engage in spiritual conflict and warfare, let our hearts be trained by the Lord so that in the heat of the battle, we will not be like those that turn away and run away, but they will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You will have the skill to navigate through the dangers that come with war. Amen. Hallelujah. Come to a conclusion of my sharing today by also sharing two other passages very quickly. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. I love this portion. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. As a spiritual partner to High Mill, and also as a prophetic voice, and I really appreciate for the honor extended to Maria and I through Noah, and over the years through Chuck and the elders here, I come to say, do not let the enemy break your communication lines. Because communication is biblical. And the Bible here says, those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. And as we speak to one another, let's have a listening ear. As we listen, one of the things the Lord has been training me as a husband is to listen to my wife. At times in the natural, it's hard to listen to one another. But listening to one another and communicating with one another, the Bible says, the Lord listened. That means God comes into our conversations and he begins to listen. What is he listening to? He's listening to the content of our discussion. Is our discussion rich with the Word of God? If it is rich with the Word of God, the Bible says God follows his word to perform it. But if it is rich with our own selfish agenda, God will not compromise his word, neither will he compromise his will. And so we must listen to one another, communicate with one another, and the Lord listens. And the Bible says, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Let our communication be centered on the name of the Lord. Let our communication be centered on the eternal destiny that He is drawing us to, where we forgive one another, we love one another. I love the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8. Again, talking about the character that is produced through times of conflict. But he says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. I pray that God will bring in a new nature and character of gentleness. It's a character of the Spirit of God. A new level of cherishing one another, where we begin to honor and esteem one another in Christ. And he says, so affectionately longing for you. There was some level of affection. And I'm praying for this godly affection to begin to supersede every false character and identity that the enemy may have desired to establish within this congregation at such a time as this. And he says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. And I stopped and thought about that. And the big challenge is, what is the nature of our lives today that God can take and impart in others? So it requires of us to grow in godly character, wisdom, patience, endurance, forgiveness, love, so that God can take that life in us. And people, when they see us, they see that love of God. They see that person of Christ, and that person can be imparted into others. And he says, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Let's guard our unity. In unity comes strength, comes the revelation of the person of Christ, comes a greater manifestation of God's glory, and we will walk in greater victory as we advance in Christ. Paul went through many stripes. He went through shipwreck. He went through prison. He went through times of being offended. He went through various trials and afflictions. But this man becomes a model to us, as a model of godly character, that even in times of great conflict, he stood and demonstrated the man Christ. Amen. I speak to you blessing in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Noah and Michelle. Thank you for who you are in Christ, that through the trials, the afflictions, you are rising up in the strength of God, and God will grant to you wisdom to manage the affairs of God's people. I bless the elders, that you, even as you take your position as elders, the congregation is watching to see your wisdom, your love, your unity, and above all, your total, absolute dependency on the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ, that you can be dependent on him. As we unite under the lordship of Christ, we can impart the life of Christ into the congregation.